I'm reminded of the fact that we're one day, 1 year closer to the day of our death or to the day of the Lord's return, whichever comes first. And on that day, we will stand before God in judgment for the life that we have lived here on this earth. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." It is that day that Jesus will either say to you and me, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or he will say to you and me, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." This is Matthew 25, verse 34, and then verse 41. Now, since we're 1 year closer to that time, when our final destiny will be forever determined, I want to use this opportunity to kind of challenge us to think about how we have used this past year. And I'd like to suggest some actual resolutions for the coming year. We talk about New Year's resolutions. A lot of jokes are made about them. A lot of things that people say. And, you know, and maybe when they make the resolution, they have the best of intentions. But so many New Year's resolutions are made and broken before even the first day is over of the new year. It's just almost laughable. But I'd like to challenge us to add God to our resolutions. Add God to that resolution, to that goal, to that dream, to that plan, to that aspiration. Add God to it, and you'll add some weight to it. It won't be just a hollow word or a promise to yourself. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it has to do with saving money, losing weight, spending more time with the grandkids. Noble, noble resolutions all. But if we add God to the resolution, it will definitely add some weight to it. Well, let me just, and this lesson is almost going to be insultingly simple. I just want to ask you three questions to start with. In this past year, have we grown closer in our relationship with God? Are you closer to God now than you were this time last year? Are you? Have we drawn nearer to God? Because the promise that God made in James 4 verse 8 is that if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us. To think that God will meet us halfway is pretty phenomenal. That if we will draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. That God would move closer to me should touch my heart. To make me stop and think about that. Now, you need to keep in mind that a good close relationship of any kind begins with good communication. So, have we been faithful in listening to God? Another year is almost gone. Did we read through and study our Bibles this year? And if not, and especially if you've never read through the whole Bible, how can you honestly say that you're taking your relationship with God as seriously as you should? And have we been steadfast in talking to God through prayer? You know, we listen as we study God's Word. We're listening to God. But then we must also speak to God. We must, and this is an amazing privilege that God will listen to us when we speak to Him. That He will hear us when we address Him in prayer. And particularly when we are seeking His will to be done, that God would notice us, that He would listen to us, that He would be interested in what we have to say. Have you ever had a conversation with someone, and I have to say I'm guilty. I am guilty. My brain, Henry complains about his brain. I complain about Henry's brain too, but that's not the point. But Henry complains about his brain and how that it doesn't function. There are times when I know my brain is not functioning right. So let me ask you, have you ever been listening to someone and, well, let me reverse that, because I'm the one that was listening, okay? Because I'm the guilty party here. Have you ever been talking to someone and it was so obvious that they just got distracted and they stopped listening? They weren't listening to you? They just and sometimes they even turn and walk away while you're in mid-sentence. And I have done that. I have done that. And I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have time. But to every one of you that I've ever done that to, and I don't mean disrespect by it, but my brain gets to thinking on something and it's like, oh yeah. And I get a little goofy at times. And I know that. Please let that go. Don't make any comments after church about that. But have you ever been somebody they just stop listening to you? They just stop listening altogether. God never does that. He's always interested in what we have to say. He will always listen to us if we pray, if we are in Christ, and if we are seeking to do the will of God, if we have submitted ourselves to Him in humble obedience to His will, we're seeking His will being done. God will always, always listen to us when we pray. And He's always interested in what we have to say. So the question is, have we been not only listening to God, but have we also been speaking to God through prayer more? You see, for effective communication to happen, both of those have to happen, both listening and speaking. So fervent Bible study should be joined with fervent prayer. So has your prayerfulness increased or decreased this year? That's the first question. Have we grown in our relationship with God this year? Second, have you grown, have I grown, have we grown in our relationship with each other this year? Has our relationship with our brethren improved in 2018? Has our love for one another increased? You know, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12, we were just studying that in Bible class last week. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You do love, but we urge you that you increase more and more. Do you know there's no limit to how much love can grow? There is no limit. Those of you that have good, close marriages, you are so close to this person, you can't imagine life without them. And I know you have said this to each other. I've not heard it, but I know you've said it. I don't know how I could love you any more than I do. I know you've said it. I know you have. And even if you didn't say it, you thought it for sure. Because you look back on when you first married, and it's like, oh, I loved you so much then, but man, I love you so much more. There's no limit to how much love can grow. And so Paul's admonition is that we abound more and more in our love for each other. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Are we closer to one another than we were a year ago? Have you been in the homes of your brethren this year? You been in each other's homes? Have you had any of them in your home? If you haven't, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If you haven't had anyone in your home, something's wrong. If you've not been to anyone's home in this congregation this year, something is wrong. And it needs to be addressed. It needs to be dealt with. I want to challenge you to think that through and think it through to its logical conclusion. Listen, do we even know who our brethren are? Every year is going to bring new members into the family of God. We have a lot of new faces at Tanner. A lot more new faces than we had even 3-4 years ago. Have we made an effort to get to know every person by name? If you haven't, this is a great new year that's coming to do just that. Have we grown in our relationship with each other this year? And the third question, and this is the final question. No, the lesson's not over yet, so don't get excited. Okay. Rick, you don't have to open the song book yet. I figured you were. He was ready to get up and start the song. Third question is, has our relationship with those in the world, those around us, those that we know, those that we have some influence with, some dealings with, has it grown? Has it improved this year? As people of God, we have an important responsibility toward those that are in the world. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words, "You are the salt of the earth. You are what adds flavor to life. You have that preserving quality of life. If you are a child of God, then you are salt. Salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." You definitely need to continue to flavor. Because if you lose your ability to influence, to season, to preserve, then you're worthless to the Lord. That's serious. That is serious. He goes on in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are salt and we are light. It's imperative that we have a positive influence. And it is imperative that we demonstrate a better way, that we show people the way to the Father. And we just saw that from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. So have we made progress this year in meaningful relationships with the people of the world so that the light of Christ can be seen by them in our lives, and so that the gospel can be communicated to them in whatever way we're able, either the printed page or an open Bible study at the kitchen table or bringing them to church with you or some means, getting them in touch with our website so that they can listen to sermons and lessons online. Whatever means you can do, try to help people get access to the Word of God. Or are we like most neighbors in this day and age? Living next to each other but not really knowing each other, many times not even knowing their names. Is it true that Southern hospitality is dying? Is it? And especially, is Christian hospitality dying? We must not let that happen. We have to have an influence in this world or we are useless to God. Another year has gone by. Have we made good use of the time the Lord has given us? Or have we wasted it? It's likely that all of us, to some degree, have not made good use of this past year. It's likely that all of us, in some way or another, could do a lot better. And so, at this point, let me apply the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting 2018, No, that's not what it says, but that's what it means. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So this morning, let me wrap this lesson up by making three New Year's resolutions, or suggesting three New Year's resolutions that have God in the mix, that have God in the middle of them. Number one, for the year ahead, resolve to draw closer to the Father and the Son. Resolve to get closer to God in this year by having a daily reading of Scripture and abiding in the Word, living it. When you read it, live it. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Read the Old Testament this year. You know, it says in Romans 15, verse 4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Read your Old Testament. If you've never read through the Old Testament, this year should be the year you do it. Old, young, it doesn't matter. This year should be the year you read through the entire Old Testament. And you can do it. You can do it. And not only that, read through the entire New Testament this year. You can do it. Reading charts are available everywhere. Many of your Bibles have a reading chart in it. We have handouts. We have things in our Bible correspondence course room that have reading charts on them. There's so many different ones out there. Find one that you like and get to work. Get reading. Faye was reading in her Bible the other day. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm getting a head start on 2019. Well, good for you. Good for you. But do something. Read your Bible, folks. And not only read it, but study it. Dig into it. James 1:21, therefore laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. If you want to go to heaven, you got to fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your life with the Word of God. And then be diligent in prayer as God's thankful people. Colossians 4:12, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. As we read today in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 18, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Perhaps Daniel's custom of praying three times a day would be worthy of imitation, don't you think? Even when it was forbidden by the king to pray, Daniel prayed anyway. When Daniel saw the writing was signed, forbidding him to pray to anyone except the king, he went to his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, knelt down on his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. That's what Daniel did. So resolve, number one, to get closer to God. Resolve, number two, to become closer to your brethren. Make up your mind that you want to ask God to help you, and make up your mind that you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters at Tanner this coming year. And you start by making a point to learn everybody's name. In 3 John chapter 1, which it only has one chapter, but in 3 John verse 13 and 14, it says, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and that we may speak face to face. Man, there's nothing like face to face communication. Do you know how to get in trouble? Facebook. Texting. It'll get you in a world of trouble. You know why? Because people can't see your face. They can't hear your voice. They can't pick up the tone. They can't read the body language. But there's nothing like face-to-face communication for making it clear what you're trying to say. So he says, I wanted to see you face-to-face. Peace be to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Greet the friends by name. The friends, by the way, are brethren. Greet each other by name. We got to get to know each other's names. Hey, get a directory. We've got plenty. If you don't have one, you need to get one. We have some in this room right here. I've got two or three in my office in there. If you need a directory, man, all you got to do is say, Robert, Henry, get me a directory. Larry, Lamar, get me a directory. We'll get you a directory. But then each week, try to connect a couple of names and faces until you've got everybody down pat where you don't even have to think about it. Have you recently placed membership with us? Well, you definitely need a directory, and you've got a challenge because you need to get to know everybody's names. The directory will help you with that. But are you here and you consider yourself a member at Tanner, but you haven't formally placed membership? Okay, I know it's just a formality, but it's a good thing to do. And if you consider yourself a member here, you need to go ahead and just place membership. That way we know you've made a commitment to serve the Lord with us here at Tanner. So I want to encourage you that if you want to be a member here and you've not done so, man, let Henry know, let me know, let us know, and place membership here with this congregation. Like I said, I know it's just a formality. It's not actually written in Scripture that that's what you have to do. But it does say that Paul joined himself to a congregation. He joined himself to this group of people. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Now, there's another thing you can do, and that is open your home. Open your home and let some folks come in. Let people come in. Let them in your house. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and 8, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. You see how this is working? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You don't have to fix a fancy dinner. Let me tell you something. I mentioned Ed Walker a while ago. He was my face and my preacher while we were students at IBC. You know what Ed did every Sunday night? Every Sunday night. After church, y'all come on over. Popcorn and Cokes. I was a skinny weenie back then. Popcorn and Cokes. And we had a ball. You know what we did? We just sat and talked. We didn't turn the TV on. We didn't watch a movie. We didn't play games. They did have a computer back then, but it was about that big and weighed 2 tons and had about 1 byte of memory in it, okay? But we didn't turn it on. We talked. We just got to know each other. We talked about things of the brotherhood. We talked about our personal lives. We talked about life in general, families and things that we loved and hobbies, and just got to know each other so much better. And it made a lifelong impact upon us, didn't it? And I cherish that. It's a precious, precious memory. You could just open up your house and have 1 or 2 families over and talk around the table, have popcorn and water, or just toothpicks and water. It doesn't matter. Just sit and visit for a while. And it's such an easy thing to do, and it's such a wonderful thing to do, and it pays eternal dividends. So I'm asking you, congregation, open up your homes this year. Open up your homes. Yeah, you're busy. I know you are. But are you too busy to get to know those that you're supposed to be going to heaven with? Because if you are, you're too busy. You better change some things. You better pull some irons out of the fire. I'm going to tell you, I don't have anything against sports, soccer games, and basketball and football and baseball and track, and it just goes on and on and on. I have nothing against hobbies and crafts and things that you enjoy doing. Hey, I'm all for that. I have nothing against hunting or fishing or anything like that. I have nothing against anything like this. But brethren, sometimes we can become so tied up and busy with all these extracurricular things, we don't have time for people. And that's sinful. That is sinful. And we better balance this a little bit better. So resolve to get to know each other better this next year. And resolve, third one, resolve to get to know the people around you better this year. Non-Christians. Spend time with a neighbor or coworker. Make a point to do it every month that you spend time with a neighbor or coworker. Just get to know them. Just talk. Like I said, the popcorn and Coke thing. Just get to know them. Visit in their home. Have them in your home. But it's amazing how far simple hospitality and neighborly kindness can go in building meaningful relationships and in opportunities to share the gospel. Brethren, we simply have to become more evangelistic. Galatians 6, 9 and 10, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, like I said, these resolutions may sound oversimplified, but if you follow them, they will go a long way to producing the kind of lifestyle that is Christianity, to increasing closer relationships with God and with our brethren and with those people in the world around us. Our lives will be blessed and we will be a blessing, both to this church and to our community. And it will help us have a clearer conscience this time next year than what we may be having right now. Brethren, time is a precious commodity given to us by God. That's what the bulletin article is about. It truly is like a vapor, as James describes it in James 4, 13 through 15, that just appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Time needs to be carefully redeemed, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, 15, 16, because the days are evil. Brethren, let me tell you what time is. Time is life. Time is life. Time is not separate from life. Time is life. And if you are wasting time, you're wasting life. God has given us this life to prepare for eternity. It's a really good investment. So I hope that these resolutions for a new year will help you to use the time that you've been given the best way you possibly can. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's passed, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill. But know that God walks at your side if you just do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to Him. If you're not a Christian, or if you are a child of God who has strayed from the Lord, please hear me this morning. You need to make the best use of the time you have right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In an accepted time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Now, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.' If you need our Lord, won't you come as we stand and sing?"